As I stated in the very first sermon of this series, these commandments, these statements from God, the Big Ten, we're really the benefactors. We benefit from these. They are for our betterment, these statements that God has given to us. And the statements so far that we've looked at, they've laid a strong, solid foundation for an uninterrupted devotion and dedication to God as his people. And this is essential for the rest of the commandments to work, for the rest of the statements that God makes, for those to work, to be able to set the foundation. That following these commandments, these statements, then you'll have a single source of authority, an objective source of authority that we lean on. And that's so very important, because the motivation then is to obey our Creator, who knows what's best for us, who loves us and has the desire for us and the community we live in to be the best it can be as his people. And because without that, then we look at the Ten Commandments and they can be more like the Ten Suggestions. You know, it's just, you know, if it came from someone that was here and we're just kind of making them up and writing them on our own by things that we've observed, you know, and then it shifts and it moves. And then it's not about obeying things that our God, our Lord, our Creator gave to us. Then it's just basically, let's just do what's good by my fellow man. Let's be a good person in the community. And then we'd be able to customize them, we'd be able to adapt them to our current culture, and as things moved and changed, we'd be able to move and change them. But that's not the case, is it? God says, I am the Lord your God. That's why I like the Jewish enumeration, because that statement one, that stands alone. Who brought you out of slavery, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, you will have no other gods before me. You will not make for yourself or worship an idol in my place. And you will respect my name in the way that you carry it with your life, in the way that you use it with your mouth. And thou shalt press pause. That's the next statement we're looking at in the Big Ten. Read this with me here. In Exodus chapter 20, as we continue in our study, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed, catch that, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So in short, what our title is today, thou shall press pause. Now, before we continue in our study, I want us to put on a certain pair of glasses, okay? So if you can just imagine a certain pair of, I want to frame all of our discussion this morning by a statement that Jesus makes about this commandment. I want us to put these glasses on, this perspective, this point of view. I want us to look at this through these boundaries that we set this morning, that it would be framed in Jesus' understanding that he gives to us about this commandment. In Mark chapter 2, then he said to them, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Those are the glasses we're putting on before we even touch anything in this subject. Jesus was very clear. God made this day for you. God made this day for us. Because he cares about us, because he loves us, because he made us and he knows how we function. He knows what's best for us. Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for you. You weren't made to fill the rule or the legalities, or it wasn't. You weren't made for this rule. This rule, this command, this statement of God, it was made for you. And that's the perspective we're going to be looking at this morning as we look at this command. Because we live overloaded lives. We just do. We could use words that start with re. Revive. Replenish. Relax. Recline. Refresh. Restore. Recover. Replenish. And renew. Boy, those words sound good, don't they? They sound so good. Those are appealing words to all of us, to our body, to our mind, to our heart, to even our soul. But the reality is that most of those words, they're foreign to our lives. But God who made us, our Creator, our Lord and God, He knows what's best for us, and He knew before we did that we would have this tendency to live overloaded lives, that we would just stack things in there and just pile and pile and pile and pile so much so that if just one more thing comes into my life, if just one more thing is laid on top of the stack that I have, I'm just going to bend and I'm going to break. And so God gave us this plan. And His plan was to give us all of those words that begin with re. His plan to refresh us, to renew us, to replenish, to help us to recline, to relax, to revive, restore, refresh. And it was such a big deal to God that it's in His Big Ten. We need to note that. That's how important to God this is for us to press pause once a week. I want you to catch that. We can't just read over this commandment. It was so important to God. He says, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of slavery. You will have no other gods before me. You will not worship idols. You will hold my name in the deepest of respect, and you will remember the day of rest. You will set it aside, and you will keep it holy. At the end of every 6 days of work, you'll take a day, and you'll shut it down. You'll turn off. And of all the things that God could have put in the Big Ten, of all the things, this is there. And it's even in front of some other ones that we would consider very important. Some ones that we haven't even studied yet. Think about some of those. You will not steal. You will not murder. You will not commit adultery. And right there among those, you will press pause. Every single week, you'll take a day to shut down, to turn off. Your work will cease for a day, your labor, you will rest from your labor. And this is a commandment. And it's just as important as the other 9 statements that we're studying in this series. It's not a suggestion. I think a lot of us take it as a suggestion. We wouldn't take any of the other ones as suggestions, would we? You know, you really shouldn't, take other people's stuff. It's kind of frowned upon. You might, if you get caught, they might shoot you or beat you up pretty good. It's just not a good idea. Just if you were going to take just life suggestions from me, I'd probably good idea just not to take other things' stuff. Just don't steal from other people. It's probably not a good idea. If you just want to keep peace, just do what you like, but it probably, if I would be able to suggest not to, murder people, that would keep us all working together. And I don't want to pry into your marriage because that's all private, But, if I were going to make a suggestion there, maybe it'd keep things together a little bit if you just didn't, sleep around on your spouse. Whatever makes you happy. That's just a suggestion. We don't look at any of those that way. In fact, we giggle. Because it's so absurd to think about those as a suggestion. We look at those, that's a commandment. Do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery. God is telling us, you don't do these things. It's black and white. It's not up for debate. God leaves no gray area. No. There's no gray statement that's up for interpretation. No other gods. Don't be a thief. Don't sleep around on your spouse. Don't murder. And right there among all of these don'ts, and that's another thing about this one, is it's one of the do's. It's one of the couple of do's. Do this. Do this. It's so important that it's right here in the Ten Commandments. Do take a rest. It's not a suggestion. Remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy is a command. It's a command that many of us break all the time, and we don't even think twice about it. We don't even feel guilty about it. I mean, think about that for a minute. Most of us, we would feel guilty if we took something that didn't belong to us. I mean, I remember way back in, you know, elementary school, the cool thing to do would be to take a piece of pizza and flip it upside down and slide it underneath your plate. I wasn't even a Christian back then, and I felt guilty for that. Most of us, we would feel guilty doing something wrong like that. We would feel guilty, I would hope, we would feel guilty if we murdered someone. We would feel guilty if we cheated on our spouse. But this command to work and be active 7 days a week, we say, well, that's just life. That's just the culture we live in. That's just how I operate. I can't operate any other way. And I'm not just talking about your occupation, your career. I'm not talking about working at the office 7 days a week. I'm just talking, it's labor. God says you will cease, you will pause, you will rest. It doesn't mean work and then more work. It's all work, it's all toil, it's all labor. And we live such overloaded lifestyles, and we'll cram 50, 60 plus hours in a week, in a 5 day work week, and then we'll fall into the weekend just exhausted, just to pack it more and more and more and more tight with other things. You know, I've got to tend to the yard, the kids have games, the laundry isn't going to do itself. You know, I can't send the kids to school Monday with dirty clothes. We just pack our lives so full. And God says, you need to take a rest. And it needs to be set aside as holy. Thou shall press pause. Now, on this next slide, I'm going to pull this up here. I don't expect you to be able to read that. Okay, we're doing an eye test here. Cover your left eye. No, I don't expect you to read that at all. These are the 10 statements, okay? This is Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 17. And what I want to do for you here is I want to, the next slide now highlights, that's the section of scripture we're looking at today. I want you to look at that and notice how much real estate God takes up. Man, these were on stone tablets. So, I mean, to be concise, it'd be kind of important because that's a lot of writing to do on stone tablets. Okay? Look at that. That's how much. I mean, there's no other commandment that has more verbiage than that. When we take the two, if we go Jewish or Catholic enumeration, when we take you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not make for yourself an idol, I put those as one in that. And it's even bigger than both of those put together when they're put together in that enumeration. Thou shall not murder. Four words. Thou shall not steal. Four words. Thou shall not commit adultery. Ooh. Five words. But when God gives this command, He gives this command and He gives a whole bunch of commentary with it. Look at how seriously God takes this whole idea of a Sabbath rest. He says, here's what I'm saying. I don't want you to work on the Sabbath. Not you, not your son, not your daughter, not your male servant, not your female servant. Even the animals get a day off. He even addresses the animals. Your ox, your donkey, your cat. Cats take the whole week off anyway. All of your animals. Even the animals are to shut it down for a day. Even your guests, anyone that's visiting you, an out-of-town guest, a foreigner, have them shut it down as well. Every single area, every single person, every living being in your house needs to be shut down. You need to stop everything. And it's almost as if God is saying to us, I know how you're going to take this. I know how you're going to respond. You're going to resist this. You're going to rebel against this. And you're not going to want to shut it down for weeks. So let me tell you, I made you. And I know you best. And so I'm going to make this as clear as I possibly can, that every single week you take one day out of seven, 6 days you work, one day you rest, you shut it down, and you make that a part of the regular rhythm of your life. So write this down. The word Sabbath, it means to cease, to end, or to rest. That's it. That's what the word means. It's not some super spiritual term. It just means shut it down. Rest. It means stop. It means cease. Your work stops. Your work ceases. Your work comes to an end. That's what this word means. It's that simple. If we were to translate this word, it would be remember the cease. Remember the end. Remember the rest. Keep it. Obey it, live it, make it a life pattern. Thou shalt press pause. It's a big deal to God. It's in his Big Ten. But not only is it in his Big Ten, but God makes it very clear that he made it holy, which is another little stamp of, hey, this is important to me. People, I'm your God. This is important. It's right underneath all these ones that directly affected me. And I make it holy. Let's review that back in verse 8 at the very beginning of the command. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it what? Holy. Okay, if you're going to keep something that way, it means it started that way, right? He doesn't say make it holy. It's not up to us. Keep it holy. Maintain its holiness. And at the very end of this commandment, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So let's write that down. God made the Sabbath day holy and he blessed it. I'm talking about both those parts, but let me just pause at the holy part for a moment. Holy means to set something aside, to set aside. It is special. It is special to God. It is special not only to God, it is special by God's appointment. None of us can make something holy. None of us have that power. The only being that can make something holy is who? God. He is the only one that can put that stamp of approval on it and say, this is holy. Because you can't make holy things from, we can't make holy things. We're not holy like God is. The only way we have holiness is because of him. Because of his Holy Spirit living inside of us. Because of his Holy Word guiding us. Because of his Son who is holy, who died for our sins. It's the only way we have holiness is because of him. And he says, this day is holy. God made it holy. He put this special stamp of approval to set it aside. He made it holy. And he did so because he is the Lord God. But we don't set it aside. And I think part of the reason we don't set it aside is we don't view it as holy. We don't connect that to it. I mean, instead, we fill our schedule. And we do so because we have so many other allegiances. And before God says this, he says, I'm the Lord your God. You will have no other idols. You will not worship anything other than me. You're going to revere my name. And now let's talk about pressing pause. Let's talk about this day that's going to be holy. Because if you think about it, what interrupts us taking a holy day? It's when other things become more important than God. And if we're not taking a Sabbath day, then we need to go back to 1 and 2 and say, okay, is he the Lord my God? Am I worshiping him only, or is there something else taking his place? Am I involved in idol worship? Because if you can't shut it down for a day, there's an issue there. If you can't listen to your God and shut it down, then something's got a hold of you. You know, what is it? It could be your career, your job. I mean, you love your work. And that's a great thing. In fact, that's a biblical thing, to enjoy the work you do, to find satisfaction, to find fulfillment from the things that you do with your hands, with your work, with your career. We are to enjoy that. But when your work becomes top priority, so much so that you can't shut it down, it becomes unhealthy for you, and it becomes disobedient in your relationship with God. And that's not healthy. Life gets out of balance. Maybe it's your kids or your grandkids. You know, we're supposed to be the best parents we can be, the best grandparents we can be. And I think we all strive for that. We all want to be that. And we fill our schedules to the brim, because we don't want our kids to miss out on some experience or some activity or something that could be so important to their development. Or and as grandparents, we don't want to miss any of the things. And maybe you're the type of grandparents that have like 50 million grandchildren. You know, you're like Abraham, and there's as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And you try to make it every one of their things that's going on. And you just, you live filled all the way up to the brim. And even though those people in your life are so very important, when they become so important that you're not able to obey God telling you to take a rest, when it becomes unhealthy and your life is out of balance, then it's not good. That's when a good thing turns into a bad thing. I mean, we have so many other different things I could dive into. Hobbies, community projects or activities, personal ambitions and goals. And none of these are innately wrong. Some of them can be attached to wrong things. But really, all these things we can chase after, we can pursue in a righteous way, in a healthy way. But when any of these good things take over, when any of these good things throw our life out of balance, when any of these good things cause us to develop unhealthy patterns, then a good thing turns into a bad thing. And God doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want your kids to be a bad thing. He doesn't want your work to be a bad thing. So his fix, I love it. He wants us to enjoy our work. If you work 7 days a week, you're not going to enjoy your work for long. Shut it down. Go back to work on day one. Work 6. Shut it down. And enjoy your work. Love your kids. Enjoy your grandkids. But make sure you're taking that rest. If you remember back to the very first statement when God says, I am the Lord your God. And then what is he attached to that? Does anyone remember? A little statement, kind of referring to something just recent history that just happened. Good job. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of the land of slavery. Guess what? When you're busy and active and moving and not taking a rest, when that is your 7-day week, you've returned to slavery. God says, I've freed you. I made you free people. Slaves don't have a day off. Slaves don't shut down. They don't rest. Of all those years they were in Egypt, they didn't rest. And God says, now I freed you from the past. I freed you from your old lifestyle. And here's what the new lifestyle is going to look like. and you get a day of rest. You get a day to shut down, something they wouldn't have had before. Some of you might be saying in your head, this all sounds good. This sounds good. It all sounds well and good, but you don't understand my life. I have no room. I have no ability to take a rest. It's just not possible. And you know what that sounds like? That sounds like a slave talking. That sounds like a slave talking. I'm enslaved to this lifestyle, this pattern that I've created in my life. Listen to your inner dialogue right now and question, what is my God? What do I worship based on the hours that I spend in my life? What's so very important to me that I can't pull away from it? What am I enslaved to? What have I given myself over to? What has that big of a hold, that tight of a grip on my life, on my soul, that I have developed these unhealthy patterns? See, not only did God bless, or not only did God deem this day holy, I mean, he put it in the Ten Commandments, he said this day is holy, but he also blessed it. And that's important to note when we're looking at this subject. See, just months earlier, God started this life pattern with the Israelites. If you go back to Exodus chapter 16, we see these Israelites that came out of slavery in Egypt, and there are about 2 million of them, and they're making their way through the wilderness, and they're trying to survive. Now, before they left Egypt, God told them to plunder the Egyptians, and they did so, and so they probably got all sorts of, you know, choice foods, and they're packing up, and I don't know how many of you guys watch Survivor anymore, but at the beginning of the last couple seasons, they just have this boat filled with food, and you can take as much as you can in a certain amount of time frame, and you know, that's kind of the Israelites in Egypt, just plundering, you know, just taking all this stuff, as much as they can carry. But when you're 3 months down the road, and you're running out of food, and you've got 2 million people that are getting hungry, that's when we step into this scene in Exodus chapter 16. It says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. People ran out of food. People get grumpy when they run out of food, don't they? I get grumpy when I get hungry. It reminds me of this Super Bowl commercial, if we can go on and play. Oh, that needs sound. I love, there's so many of those. They're just great. There's a lot of truth. That's why those commercials are funny. There's a lot of truth. So we've got 2 million Israelites that could have been in a Snickers commercial. They're grumbling against Moses and Aaron, and they're grumbling because they're hungry, and they're saying, man, we would be better off in Egypt. At least there we had potted meat. We had meat in a pot. We had food to eat. You brought us out here to starve to death. For 400 years, the Israelites prayed that God would rescue them from the land of slavery, from the slavery that they were experiencing in Egypt. For 400 years, and then God delivers them. And then within three months, they're saying, send us back because we're hungry. We want something to eat. Down in verse 11, it says, the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew is gone, thin flakes like frost. Thin flakes like frost. Frosted flakes. Kellogg's. They thought they were being original. God was serving up frosted flakes and they had no idea what it was. Thin flakes like frost. You can't make that up. On the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" We had a time machine, we'd go back and say, "It's frosted flakes." The mystery of manna has been revealed to you this morning. When the Israelites saw it, they said, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." When they saw it, they said, "What is it?" That's what manna means. That name stuck. The word manna, it means what is it? Hey, what are you eating? What is it? That's what I'm asking. What are you eating? What is it? No. That you're eating, what is it? Exactly. That's what it was. It's what is it? The name stuck. God had instructed the Israelites that this manna that came, it came day after day, and they were only to take enough for one day. Do not take enough for tomorrow, just enough for today. But some of the Israelites, they disobeyed that. They took enough for two. They gathered up extra. They gathered up a whole bunch of the frosted flakes because they'd been hungry. And they're like, "You know what? I don't want to starve. I don't want to." And this is just a huge sign of distrust. I don't believe him. I'm just going to gather more just in case. But then the next day when they went to their hidden store of manna, it stank. It was moving because it was filled with maggots. God said, "You take enough for one day. You trust me. You trust me for that day. Give us this day our daily bread. You trust me for that day and let me worry about tomorrow. You don't worry about tomorrow." And God was developing a pattern. I want you to take enough for Monday on Monday. I don't want you to take enough for Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. You take enough for Monday and you trust me with Monday. Tuesday, you trust me with Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you trust me with those days. And you trust me day by day with one exception, with one exception. Down in verse 23, we see this exception. It says, "He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning.'" Now, for those that had disobeyed or those that had heard about the disobedience, this would be another test of faith because they're like, "Oh, I saw what happened to that guy. He got enough for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on Monday, and on Tuesday it was nasty. And now you're saying on Friday, bake what you want to bake, boil, just make as much as you want, and you're going to be taken care of the next day." It's faith. It's trust. So they saved it until morning. I think that's where I'm at. Is that right? Yeah, so they saved it until morning. As Moses commanded, and they did, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the Sabbath day. Gosh, we're so greedy. It goes back so far. Some of the people went out on the Sabbath on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, that this is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people, what? Rested on the seventh day. God had instructed the Israelites, "I want you to gather. I want you to work. God is all for a healthy work ethic. I want you to work for 6 days. I want you to gather for six and trust me with the seventh." Have faith in me. How are we going to provide for the seventh day if we don't gather? How are we going to make it? How are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to live? How are we going to survive? How are we going to operate? Doesn't this sound familiar? If I'm not taking care of myself, if I'm not providing for myself, if I'm not the person who I am dependent on for my life, it sounds silly in church among people of faith. But when we live it out through the week, it's reality. God says you work with 6 days and you observe the seventh day. I've made it holy. I have set it aside. And not only that, I have blessed it. I've made it so your production with 6 days is going to provide you with seven. I've made it so your productivity, you're going to be so much more productive in all of your life's ambitions. If you're working with 6 days and a seventh blessed day, you're going to be much more productive than working with seven unblessed days. And what does it take? It's trust. It's a faith thing. It's a trust thing. Let's write that down. It takes faith and trust in God's blessing to press pause. To press pause once a week. It takes faith and trust. You know, the Sabbath rest, it goes even further back than just a few months prior. It goes back further than just Exodus chapter 16. The Sabbath rest goes all the way back to Genesis. The Sabbath rest goes all the way back before sin. The Sabbath rest is not something that, oh, because sin is in the world, because you have to work harder now, you need a day of rest. Because you have more distractions, because you have more things messing you up, because you have more things tugging at your heart and tugging at your life, you need a day of rest. You need a day of recharge. You need to replenish. You need to relax. You need to recline. It was before sin entered the world that God started this pattern. This is a piece of paradise. And we reject it. All the way back, chapter 2. After chapter 1, all the creation of the world. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the first time we see the word, the Hebrew word Shabbat, which is where the word Sabbath comes from. It's right here. It says that for 6 days God created the world, but on the seventh, he Shabbat. He rested. He ceased from his labor. He ended. He stopped the work he was doing and he shut down. Why did God do that? Oh, man, that wore me out. Is that why God did it? No, the Bible says that God never tires. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't need rest. He doesn't need any of those rewords that sounded so good to us earlier. He doesn't need that. Why did God do this? And why it is so apparent in Genesis, it's brought back up before the commandment even was mentioned in Exodus 20. And he starts the life pattern, the life cycle with his freed people in Exodus chapter 16. And God rested on the seventh day, not for himself. He rested on the seventh day for you. He rested on the seventh day to show us a pattern. Here is the life cycle that is healthy. Imitate God and be healthy. That's what God is saying. Here's the life cycle. It's like Jesus being baptized. He didn't need to be baptized. We needed to see him baptized to know what we needed to do. To know how to follow Jesus properly and correctly. It's the same principle here with creation. God says, here is the life pattern, lifestyle. I don't need it. You need it. And here it is, Genesis chapter 2. It's how important it was for God to instill in us this life cycle, this pattern. every 7 days you take one of those off. And it is directly connected to our acknowledgement of God as our creator. And tied to that, it is directly connected to him creating us. So every time we take a Sabbath day, it is an acknowledgement that he is our creator, that he knows us better, that he understands the way we tick better, that he understands what's going to be most healthy for us. And so every time we take a Sabbath, every time we take a rest, and let me get that note. The very practice acknowledges God's wisdom and power as the creator of all things. Thou shall press pause. Take a day. It doesn't have to be Saturday. The Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. God picked the seventh day of the week to show I worked six, I'm going to rest the seventh. It doesn't mean that there's some legal connection. It has to be Saturday. It is just a day. Take a day and rest. The word is not connected to worship. It's a Sabbath to the Lord. He made it holy. But as Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. Take a day and rest. Set it aside. Understand God blessed it. Take faith and trust in him. And try it. Set some things aside. Some of you are thinking, well, I guess I want to send the kids to school Monday with dirty clothes. I'm not saying, you know, pick things through the week. Figure out what's not essential. Trim the fat. All with the goal of making one day holy. Setting it, not making it, keeping it holy, maintaining it. Setting it aside and saying, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you for 7 days worth of production with 6 days of my work. I'm going to trust you with 7 days of provision with 6 days of my labor. Try it. Understand how important it is to God. He started with it in creation. He set a life pattern in Exodus chapter 16. In Exodus 20, it's in the Big Ten. He set it aside as holy. He blessed it. And he spent more time talking about the Sabbath rest in the Big Ten than any of the other. It should be important to us. And it's amazing. It's important to God because it's for us. God's, I love you so much. I don't want to see you burn out. I don't want to see you as a bad parent because you're just so worn out. I don't want to see you unproductive at work because I've gifted you and I've made you as an individual. I made you in the womb. I knit you together. I gave you these amazing gifts and talents. I made you to be the best nurse you can be. I made you be the best ditch digger you can be. I made you to be the best painter or the best accountant or the best whatever I made you to be. And you're not going to be the best that you can be without that day of rest every 7 days. I love you so much. I want you to be the best you can be. So trust God. Have faith in him. And give it a shot. That's the challenge.